Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
We're here at our place in Southwest Arkansas that's our prayer cabin, been in our family ever since Glory and I got married. I tell you, it has been a wonderful thing for our family. Glory, I was remembering this morning about that time I came up here in January of 1983, there was a major change coming in the whole spiritual atmosphere of the country, and I was just hanging right there in the middle, and I didn't know which way to go, which way to turn. And I learned a long time ago that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even yes. Our faith. There's not anything in this world order that faith won't overcome. But you have to take the time to pull aside with the Lord and listen yes. And pray and believe God and find out what His plan is. Not what your plan is, what His plan is. In fact, that was really the beginning of the time when I realized that God has His plan for every human being ever born on this planet. And His plan is a grand plan. You remember, He started this with the Garden of Eden. He didn't start it in a thorn patch.
That's right.
He started it in the Garden of Eden, and His will for all men, for all time, was to live in that kind of environment.
That's
always been His plan. So, anyway, I realized that His is the plan. What I needed to do was what Jesus did when He said, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Your will. And that was the best plan. That was the plan. Anyway, came up here and prayed, stayed nearly the whole month and just prayed and believed God. And the first part of it was really tough and really rough. And there were some things that had to be dealt with in my life. And I just right here in this peaceful environment, the Lord revealed the glory of the Lord. I'd heard Brother Hagin talk about it, but I'd really never studied it. I didn't really know what it was, but I got into it, began to study it, left here that January with the actual vision of this ministry, which was far more than what I had accounted for up to that time, from 67 to 83. So this place has just been right at the heart of this ministry ever since we've been in the ministry. Our children have big memories of this place. Amen. So we wanted you to enjoy it, and we've come up. This is the 22nd year that we broadcast from here. Amen.
How about that?
And then the other thing I wanted to mention this morning was Word Bird. You remember?
Listen, yesterday, I meant to tell you this yesterday. The minute you read the scripture, that bird came in there.
He chimed in. Now, don't write me letters and tell me the sound effects are turned up too high. We don't phony up broadcast with stuff like that.
You just started reading the scriptures and off he went.
That bird has come in here. I guess we've had that ever, but I don't notice it any other time.
I don't either.
Maybe it's just that
I'm not because we're
paying any attention. But anyway, now he chimes in. Praise God. Father, we thank You and we give You praise and honor today. And in the name of Jesus, we open our hearts. We open our minds, sir, to receive revelation from heaven. Reveal Yourself to us. We thank You for manifestations of the Spirit of God all over this radio and television audience, all over this earth.
Yes.
And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's go back over here now. We began last week talking about our benefits from the 103rd Psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And that's important here.
That's awesome.
Again, to remember that He is stirring us. He's talking to His soul. He wasn't talking to God.
That's right.
Of course, He's blessing the Lord,
yeah.
But He's praising God, but He's stirring Himself up to remember that He is blessed of the Lord, that it is the blessing of the Lord that empowers. It is the blessing of the Lord, not your own wits and your own power.
That's right.
That's what made Him a great king. Not only that, that's what made Him, that gave Him the insight to walk not only as a king, but a prophet before God. And it hasn't changed any. Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, all the rest of us, through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. What the Spirit promised Abraham when God blessed him and increased him and made him fruitful. Now, David was walking in that blessing. Jesus walked in that blessing. In that blessing, first of all, let me say this. This is important that you understand this. When God created Adam and Eve, the Scripture said, and God blessed them saying. He blessed them saying. The power of the blessing, the activation of the blessing, is faith. Abraham's faith activated Abraham's blessing. It still does. Fourth chapter of Romans, we read it last week, that it is a faith so that it might be by grace. Now, you can understand a little bit about grace with this right here. The literal meaning of the word bless, both in the Hebrew and in the Greek and in English, means to say something good about. Hmm. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Now, it also...
We bless our food. We say something,
good about it.
That's right.
Now, what is a curse? To say something bad about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's so simple. You have to have help to misunderstand it, you know. So religious help can help you do that. But anyway, it's that simple. Now, it also means, the same words mean to empower, to prosper. Well, to prosper is good. The word prosper doesn't mean money. Now, money is related to it. But to prosper means to excel to the highest place in something desired. The problem is in the desire, not the prosper. To prosper in God is to excel to the highest place in Him, in His power, in His word, in His way. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now see, that's prospering in God. Things are added to you. You're prospering, increasing.
Mm-hmm.
It is not prosperity to decrease. God never intended to decrease anybody. people that have the idea that God and poverty are tied together with a short rope don't know anything about His Word, about the blessing of the Lord. The reason the blessing is so important is because it was on page one, praise God, of the Bible. That's where it began, and that is God's perfect will
it's
for all
to
men
God.
For all time. Yes, yes, it is important.
And to you and me and now, everybody else. But He wanted people to prosper. Why
increase.
Is that? Because He's good.
Be fruitful. Increase. Subdue the earth and have dominion over it.
Yes.
Well, to have dominion over it, to cause it to be fruitful and to multiply, when you just leave it alone and let it do whatever it's going to do, the curse and its effect on the earth begins to do its thing, then it becomes intolerable. And it'll fight you. But when the blessing of the Lord is upon it, then God's empowerment to excel begins to have its effect on your surroundings. It creates a wall of grace. The Scripture says His favor encompasses us as a shield.
Roundabout. Mm-hmm.
And then the Scripture says the blessing of the Lord is a wall about which Satan cannot penetrate unless he's allowed to penetrate it. There is a wall of separation between light and darkness, life and death. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's a wall of separation there.
That wall is the law of blessing. It's the, what did you say? The first thing you said was about the law of the blessing.
Is a wall.
Is the wall.
Yeah, that's the wall. Satan can't penetrate that.
No.
Darkness can't penetrate light. Light penetrates darkness. But now, the key to all of this is in the spoken word.
Right.
God blessed them saying, fruitful be, multiply. What's He doing? He's saying something good. Now, if He had just been complimenting them, and they would have just said, thank you. I mean, it had been over right there. But that's not what He was doing. He was not communicating with them. He was empowering them. Words, first place of authority, is to exercise power and spiritual force. Their secondary function is to communicate ideas and thought between people. But that's secondary. Because the Scripture says that the tongue bridles the whole body. The body and what it does and all of its desires follow after what you've been saying.
Yes, that's right.
Now, human beings instinctively know they're supposed to say something about everything. They are supposed to be command and control in their entire environment with what they say, and consequently, they talk all the time. They say something about everything. But not knowing the Scripture, not knowing the laws of life...
It goes in a negative stream.
It flows in that negative stream, and Satan's biggest desire is to get hold of your tongue. And if you'll notice, everything in the world's conversation, its manner of life, the words that it speaks, all of its fad words, all of the what the world thinks are just nothing words.
Yeah,
but you notice if you
curse words, that's what we call them, curse words.
If you use those words in life, they sound funny. No, nobody out there in the world said it tickled them to life.
No.
It tickled them to death. What? I mean, where'd that come from? Why does it tickle you to death?
When people get mad, they don't say, go to heaven either.
They don't.
Go the other way.
And did you notice they don't ever use any other entity's word to curse except God?
That's where the power is.
They don't use Buddha's name.
Mm-mm.
They don't use other names to curse. They use the name of Jesus. They coupled the word God with the word damn. Mm-hmm. Now, why is that, according to the scripture, using God's word in vain or in a blasphemous manner?
His name in vain, yeah.
Why? He's not the dammer.
That's right.
The natural world thinks he is. The natural world thinks he sends people to hell. He's never sent anybody to hell but the devil. So you know, listen to the world. Well, you can go to hell for lying just the same as you can for stealing. You don't go to hell for lying or stealing either one. Not after Jesus was raised from the dead. The only thing that'll send any person to hell is the rejection of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because He has taken the punishment
for every other sin.
He is the sin sacrifice.
That's right.
Amen. I don't care what you did in the past. It's been covered, brother. The only way that it can't cover you is to reject it. Now, let's get back to our benefits and the 103rd Psalm. Well, no, the Lord won't let me off this for a second. To bless, I could just be complimenting. He could have said something nice to Adam. But when you say it in power, then you become that. It's one thing to say something nice about somebody as a compliment, but to say something nice about somebody by faith, then you become that blessing. That's the power of the blessing. It got so far lost. The body of Christ so lost the power of the blessing that nobody even knew what it meant. It got to the place where it had been boiled down to nothing, and to the place where it was just a response to a sneeze. I mean, that's a terrible thing, to let something that's that powerful, something God started humanity and His empowering the human race with, and let the devil just take all the air and the power out of it. Well, of course, it's the biggest danger to him. That's what he was so hacked off about when he got in God's face over Job. And he said, "Does he serve you for nothing? You have blessed him." And the Hebrew text says, "Look how rich he is.
That's right.
You have blessed him. There is a wall up about him."
Oh, I like that
See,
wall.
He was so ticked off because the blessing of the Lord had made him rich. He was the wealthiest man in the East, and Satan couldn't get his hands on that money. There was a protection wall there, and it wasn't God that tore it down. It was Job that tore it down.
That's right.
He didn't know how he did it, but he did it. Now, here's the same picture.
The blessing wall.
The blessing wall.
I like that.
In the King James, it's called a hedge. He's hedged about. Well, we know that the grace of God is a shield compassed about. So what is grace? Grace is God continuing to say good things about us and bless us in His power, even when we don't deserve it. We deserve the curse, but instead of cursing us, He's blessed us in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Now that's grace. Now, to increase is the blessing of the Lord. And when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, it was no longer on the outside when this man on the inside, the real you, was recreated, or what the scripture calls being born again. When that took place, the scripture says, any man in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things are of God.
Yes, amen.
So that seed of that blessing of Abraham then is inside this born again man.
And the curse,
we've been redeemed from the curse.
Passed away
for
us.
Oh, yeah.
Glory to God.
We've been redeemed from the curse of the law.
So the blessing didn't pass away. The curse passed away in Jesus.
Now, the curse is still functioning.
Not in our
life. But it's lost its power over us.
Praise God.
When we resist it, it can't overpower that resistance and come into our lives just because the devil wants to. Now,
right.
When you put, I'm not talking about cussing now.
Right.
Cussing is a derivative.
Profanity.
Of curse words. Mm-hmm. Death words. Poverty
That's
words.
Right.
Sickness words. The law of sin and death. Romans 8. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. These are laws. These are spiritual laws. And when you put those laws into motion, then the power and entity that you authorize with your words, you are the witness. Out of the mouth of two witnesses, let every word be established. Human beings are the establishing witness. God's already said His part. I have placed before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life. So if you made a list here and separated them, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and the law of sin and death, over here would be what's called the curse of the law. Everything on that side of the ledger that has to do with death, sickness, disease, poverty,
That's right.
lack, all of those things. Death itself, and the fear of death that Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 talks about. Put all of those over here on this side. Then you put all that has to do with life and the redemption from that curse, law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Both of them are activated with words. Hmm. So as you speak those words, then you are the
deciding factor.
Deciding factor. And as you speak those words, you have whomever backs those words, which is Satan and all principalities and powers and rulers
curse.
Of the darkness
yeah.
of this world, they're the ones causing these things to function in your life. Because whether you know it or not, you've licensed them to do so. But when you speak life, Jesus, all of His angels and all of heaven's authority and life, then is activated in your life. That's when the wall goes up. And we're out of time. Glory to God. Gloria and I will be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.